Big media are heralding a federal appeals court ruling striking down a North Carolina law that made it harder to vote. Harder for some, that is. The court noted that the restrictions on things like early voting and same-day registration targeted African Americans with almost surgical precision, and indeed came in the wake of the state's request for specific data on voting practices by race, which itself came in the wake of the Supreme Court's ruling in Shelby County versus Holder, saying that states with histories of discrimination no longer needed to get federal clearance for such changes. So it's great to see the New York Times, for instance, excoriating North Carolina Republicans' scurrilous attempt to suppress the rising power of black voters. In a better world, of course, such campaigns would not have enjoyed years of tailwind from media like The Times, rhetorically balancing claims of potential voter fraud with evidence of actual voter suppression. And mindful of the paper's current note that court decisions like this one show the bitter struggle for basic fairness beyond the national spotlight, we'll look for media to report this story out, with follow-up on how, for instance, North Carolina will mitigate the inevitable confusion over the new exceptions, given that there's no funding for public education, as Samantha Lockman notes at Huffington Post. Or on how, as the nation's Ari Berman points out, this ruling poses a challenge to the Supreme Court's Shelby decision, premised on voter suppression as a thing of the past. Kristen Clark of the Lawyers Committee for Civil Rights Under Law reminded in testimony at the DNC how, after the 15th Amendment, states like Alabama introduced bans on voting by people convicted of felonies, along with purposefully ill-defined crimes of moral turpitude, in an admitted effort to disenfranchise black Americans. These rules that prevent many who've served time in prison from ever voting again were also precisely crafted with a goal in mind, and even after the court's recent ruling, they're still achieving it. Media interest in the issue is welcome. We hope they'll remember that their spotlight is most useful where folks are still working in shadow. Finally, when former New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg took the stage at the Democratic Convention in Philadelphia to tout his nonpartisanship and call for a sane, competent person for president, we saw a celebration of conservative centrism on the floor and, as Molly Neffel noted for Fair.org, in the establishment media, reacting, after all, to a politician who is also a powerful establishment media mogul. You can feel the appreciation in Washington Post writer Jonathan Capehart's assessment of Bloomberg as political pragmatism personified. Capehart notes that Bloomberg was a Democrat who switched to Republican to run for mayor, then switched to independent when he thought about running for president. And he cites with admiration Bloomberg's statement that any successful elected executive knows that real results are more important than partisan battles and that good ideas should take precedence over rigid adherence to any particular political ideology. What results or ideas exactly, Bloomberg can claim, were of less interest to pundits than a game of who's the better billionaire, wrote The Washington Post's Chris Saliza. Bloomberg found his mojo when he turned his rhetorical fire on Trump, and man, oh man, did he go after his fellow New York billionaire. Capehart, too, had cheered how Bloomberg slammed his fellow billionaire for his business practices that hurt real people. As Neffel notes, one of the policies Bloomberg is most proud of, stop and frisk, was overturned by a federal judge precisely because it hurt real people. Likewise, his policies on homelessness, namely eliminating permanent housing assistance programs that led to an 83% increase in the city's homeless families. During his tenure, Bloomberg proposed budget cuts to the fire department, elderly services, libraries, public schools, and recycling programs. And he cut child care and after-school programs for 5 years in a row. New Yorkers know this, though not thanks to Bloomberg's own media empire. Reporters at Bloomberg News are under a longstanding directive to avoid coverage of their boss, which translated into a virtual ban on investigative reporting of the mayor of New York for 12 years. But none of that changes national media's shorthand for the former mayor as a social liberal but a fiscal conservative, a supporter of the arts, and, strangest of all, the billionaire to root for. You're listening to Counterspin, brought to you each week by the Media Watch Group Fair.